co-producer and intern, Dusty Hinz.
So we're fortunate enough to have with us today Khaled Abualnaga.
That was good.
Okay, sweet. Who is who's a lead actor and co-producer of a great new film called Microphone, which won the best film in the Cairo International Film Festival. It also won a big award in Tunisia.
And Istanbul. We've got like 5, 6 now. Okay. So we're very, very lucky. Yeah.
And I saw it yesterday, and I was really impressed. I honestly think it was one of the best films that I ever saw.
Wow.
And so listeners out there, just so you know, the Minneapolis International Film Festival is technically over, but there is still a Best of the Fest series for this weekend, and there's one more showing of the film this Saturday, 4:30 at Anthony St. Main Theater. So let's get right into it. So could you briefly introduce yourself, where you're from, and some what you've been up to?
Sure. First, thank you so much for the introduction. Microphone is one of the very dear films that I've, very dear to me, really, and most of the people who worked in it, because it just happened almost like one day, I mean, in the time span, almost like one day before the revolution and in Egypt. And most of these kids who are in the film playing themselves, the artists, the underground music scene in Alexandria, in Egypt, they are actually pretty much the kind of kids who started the revolution, the educated young Egyptians who called for it. I'm an actor. I do a lot of commercial films in Egypt. And if you don't know, Egypt is pretty much like Bollywood, but in the Arab world. So it's like we do like 80 movies a year. Usually it used to be 200, now down to 80, but still quite a big film industry going on, but mostly very commercial. And we have a local kind of films, like action, comedy, whatever. And they never really get out of that region except for few films every year. One of them is like Microphone or Heliopolis the year before, or Howie this year. And these films are usually, like independent young filmmakers who are inspired by independent cinema, trying to do something different, and Microphone is one of them. So I said all that without introducing myself, and you asked me about introducing myself.
We'll
talk about that later.
We'll continue with. So where did the idea for the film come from?
I had a collaboration with Ahmed the director, and unfortunately he's not here because he's busy doing a documentary, actually a short film about Tahrir Square, where we were all, for 18 days actually, most of the crew, the young girl in the film, Yosra, she was actually in charge of the media. She was collecting media from phone and mobiles in Tahrir Square, putting it in one like big hard disk so that, you know, everybody else can use it later. And she did a great job with that. So everybody had a role in a way, and actually kind of big roles. So the idea started with Ahmed walking in Alexandria one day and finding this very progressive, very interesting progressive graffiti on the wall that said, "Be with art, kun mal fan," and it had this, the revolution fist.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of them around here.
It's kind of universal.
Yeah,
a universal symbol.
They're also common around here.
There's a couple of them. One with the T-shirt here. So anyway, so basically, he said, "You have to see this graffiti." And he met the girl, the young girl who's doing these graffitis. And then she led us to meet the music bands and so on and so on. And we ended up seeing this amazing underground, thriving youth scene, all really expressing themselves in progressive ways and very, very unheard of. And nobody even knew they existed. And, we started doing a documentary about graffiti artists and then about music bands and then about skateboarders, and then about this whole, underground culture. And we were really surprised. We had no idea that all this existed right in front of our nose, and we didn't know. Even some of them, like a girls only band, heavy metal band, their parents don't know. And they actually have to put masks when they sing on stage or go in concerts because they don't want their parents to know, because their parents are too conservative.
So then the decision was made to make a fictional film with real-life people that are not actors,
right?
That are just real life, regular kind of people from this subculture.
Exactly.
And you contacted these, you were in touch with these people, and ultimately you made a fictional film based completely on reality.
Exactly.
Which is what I found so incredibly compelling about it. It was so real watching the film.
And it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy.
The kids were like, they really didn't believe that we're doing a feature about them acting themselves until maybe we finished shooting. And they said, are we really making a feature? Is this how you make a feature? Is that it? We were just being ourselves. I said, yeah, this is what it's all about. And this is what the experiment was all about. The only fictional characters was my character and a few other characters.
So talk about your character.
Yeah, we basically had to link. So we brought them all and we said, okay, we want you to tell us stories worth telling from this band, you, the graffiti artist. And actually, we were overwhelmed. We had this amazing, brave, really brave, I have to tell you. I mean, people came and talked about sexuality, sexual orientation, stuff like that. In Egypt, and you know, you usually get the mainstream, conservative. People, would never really accept that or even let alone talk about it, but they actually wanted to tell the story. I mean, some people came and said, I want you to say that I'm gay, and I'm like, have this girlfriend or boyfriend. I was like, and they opened up completely to us, and I was like, where did that come from? What did we do? What buttons did we push to get these kids? Actually, it's probably just the right timing. Everybody was ready to be just, you know what, we've had it with just, lying and not being honest what's going on. And if you really want to make a documentary, something real, let's just say it all. Of course, we had to protect these kids. We felt that, oh my God, they trust us so much. And we really couldn't put everything, but we tried to put as much as possible. But really, the story was not about sexuality and stuff like that. It was some really personal stuff, which we were overwhelmed to have, which we're really happy to have, that they trusted us that much. But we wanted to talk about the music, the art. But of course, in the art, you get a lot of the personal stuff anyway. So we kept the art talking about that. And
so you're an event kind of promoter and organizer in the film. So
and
to say,
in the film, and actually in the real making of the film, of the big film,
which
yeah.
is, and then also just so everybody knows, the act, like the people that are in the movie, like their real name in real life is their name in the movie.
Yeah, we kept the names. We might as well just keep the names. What's
which,
the point?
Exactly, which is like so, names? Which is so beautiful too. I found it really interesting also, and this demonstrated just like the state repression in Egypt. The struggle in the film to get the editor person or like the kind of CEO person, Salah or
I keep forgetting his name actually till now, Saleh or Salah. The thing is, don't you always think about that when you really don't like a person or you really hate a person, you keep forgetting his name, and that happens to me in reality. And when we were shooting, I really forgot his name.
So you were trying to get. You wanted to kind of promote this like underground art scene, but it was hard because because you keep coming to the person in charge and he's like, oh no, it's too political, oh no, like that goes too far, and there's like this, there's that like really like that's at the forefront of the movie, kind of like the struggle to kind of get funding for like stuff that is like somewhat political and a little bit edgy, which can relate to stuff in this country even too, because
I was just going to say that everywhere we went, everyone said we have that character, this bureaucracy of these officials who would tell you, I'm an artist, I'm originally an artist, you don't know how much I care about what you're doing, but you know what, it won't work, for many reasons, and just they just go on like that, and it just really frustrates young artists.
I want to just jump in here because I think that the fact that you centered your film on the arts as a means for people to politically resist is super important. I think there's a reason this show is subtitled Politics and Culture. And I guess I wanted you to talk a little bit about music in Egypt. I might remind those either who are too young to remember or never knew, you know, in the years where the Soviet Union still existed, music was a huge thing. I mean, yeah. It was a big act of resistance to be a rock and roller or to be mm-hmm. a jazz artist.
Absolutely.
You know, there were jazz clubs in Eastern European countries that were underground.
Underground,
I think it's
yeah.
interesting. I wish I could remember the name of the filmmaker in the film, but I think I watched too many movies.
And that can be the only means of resistance,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there was a film made out of Iran that documented similarly their music scene.
Yes, and Butterfly, something Butterfly.
Yeah,
you're right.
Last year or a year
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
But what's amazing to me is that people in the Middle East, I don't think folks would assume this, it seems like the big resistance music is either hip hop or heavy metal rock.
Well,
and
yeah.
can you just but say a little more about yeah, the actual art that
arts,
people are
yeah,
making
yeah.
as a resistance? Because in America, art is so often seen as product or mm-hmm. purely mm-hmm. personal mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. stuff, mm-hmm. not political.
But you know, hip hop is really about lyrics. It's about a statement. Hip hop is really about that. If you're a hip hop artist and you're really being honest what you're doing, you probably have something to say. Might as well not do anything if you don't have a message, a strong statement.
Unless most you're fake them, and commercialized.
Exactly.
Which is there's too much of that in this.
There's too much of that. You know what?
Yeah,
there's
the,
too much
the
of that.
The best hip hop here
but you know
that
what?
Has something to say doesn't get on the radio. And, it's all about bling and bitches.
And guess
basically.
What? And guess what? There's a lot of that too at home. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a big hip hop commercial scene talking about love and fantasy.
Absolutely, and that's the same thing in Venezuela. I've lived in Venezuela.
Yeah.
There's the reggae tone down there. It's the same thing going on
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, you get that too.
And the mainstream stuff is like that. You know, the mainstream stuff that's funded, that has money, is commercialized yeah. and all that. And the real, true artistic expression is underground.
You know, you just nailed it. You know, the kids we met, Y Crew, we have a song here. These kids, actually, when we met them and we talked to them, they were so angry at filmmakers. I was like, what is this anger? I was like, and then I found this story that another group, which is very commercial, very famous, very well known, actually took some of their songs and they just completely played with and they gave it to them and said, yeah, go do it, take it and make us use it commercially. And they just gave it out of courtesy. They said, yeah, it's our work, take it. They said, we're going to take parts of it. And then they completely changed it into this, you know, not at all what they were doing. And they changed the lyrics and they just tamed it down completely. And they hated that. And doing the film, we told them, you know what, we're going to give you the chance to do your own thing.
I want to mention again for listeners who might have just come in, the film in question is called Microphone. It's screening in the best of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival this weekend, Saturday, May 7th, 4:30 p.m., St. Anthony Main Theater in Minneapolis.
Yep.
And let me also, so I don't forget, tell you that programming on KFEI made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I really could relate to a lot of the little intricacies and just happenings in the movie, just with things that are going on in my life right now, because, and we can get into this discussion, but I really think like the revolution in Egypt and the film, what you're talking about,
there's
these people doing
between them, yeah,
and like a lot of the same stuff is going on here. But my main general point is that like our generation is coming of age. I really think that's happening.
Can I ask you to repeat that?
Our generation is coming of age.
I can't agree more.
And it's just incredible. Do you want to talk a little bit about the timeline of
sure.
which I found really interesting?
It's
too.
Very eerie. The film, we started shooting almost a year ago. We finished around October. We were very privileged to have Toronto Film Festival. The first screening premiere was in Toronto. The world premiere was in Toronto. From there on, London, Vancouver, like a lot of film festivals. But then the first Arab country festival was Tunisia. And then Tunisia have a revolution. Next, and we got the best film, best the Gold Tenet, which is the best film award from Tunisian film festival. Then we go to Dubai and we get da, 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 and then we go to Cairo, we get the best film award, Arabic film award. And then the revolution starts on the 25th of January. And guess what? The movie was actually being released in Cairo on the 25th of January. something is very eerie. Some people think that this film has like a secret code that really just erupts revolutions whenever it gets an award in the country. So I'm just, you know, if we get an award in Minneapolis, that would be, I don't know.
That is so great. Just, it's like, we really need this. Because let me tell you,
do you want a revolution?
We're kind of behind Egypt and Tunisia, though I will say, in case you didn't know, that in February, March, when there were the biggest labor demonstrations that this country has seen in decades in Madison, Wisconsin, which is next door to Minnesota, my favorite sign being held by Wisconsin workers as they picketed their state capitol was, "Fight like an Egyptian."
Oh, I love that. You know,
it's my favorite slogan to take to every demonstration I go is, I made a crude "Fight like an Egyptian"
sign. It echoed
sign.
Back home. Yeah, I mean, this revolution is I think will take a long time to analyze what happened. I keep thinking about the spectacle of, you know, Tahrir Square and all the squares. Actually, it was all over Egypt, but Tahrir was huge, and was 2 million people one day in the same area, and just imagine.
Do you think it's going in the right direction right now? What?
Nothing is irreversible. Nothing goes in the wrong direction after that, because what happens is there's a haunting image of Tahrir Square that will haunt anybody who want to go in the wrong direction. And you know, you can't do that, and that's the beauty of it. It's leaderless, and everybody thinks, oh, but you need leaders. And I talk to a lot of politicians. They say, oh, where are the leaders? We need leaders. I'm telling them, you know what? The beauty of this is that it's leaderless. Actually, every single person is a leader. I would never be more proud in my life but just being one of them, just being there for 18 days. And this bond, you know, fighting lies from state media TV, fighting all these campaigns against them, and then fighting rubber bullets, tear gas bombs, and also, of course, we lost some with the real bullets. That bond is much stronger than any party, political, you know, Muslim Brotherhood. A lot of young kids who used to be like the bulk of the Muslim Brotherhood, like the very fundamental, very conservative side, you know what? They chemically change. They completely feel, wait a minute, we were right there. This bond between me and my fellow, you know, Copt or Christian and you know, educated, uneducated, rich, poor, is much stronger than any other bond between me and another political body or, you know. So that is what nobody is really observing from the politics and the news. What happened on the ground on these 18 days, thanks to Mubarak being very, you know, taking his time until he left, that actually changed a lot, because this bond is much stronger. These became messengers. When they go back home to all wherever they are in Egypt, they became like prophets of that Tahrir spirit, which I think is irreversible. You will be surprised in the coming months and coming years of what happens because of that. You reached a critical mass that have a belief, that has a religion, kind of, and it's actually spreading.
Which is liberation.
Which is basic human rights. People regain the country, they regain their dignity, they finally regain their vote. One of the very interesting moments is right after. People were cleaning the streets and painting the sidewalks. It was like, where did that come from? It's they felt the country came back to them. This is finally in my country.
To go back to the movie just for a second, the element of the graffiti artists who are like writing on walls and trying to get their message out that way and exposing things, and you've got the hip hop artists that are saying just like real genuine things about like the politics and mm-hmm. just real life stuff, mm-hmm. and you've got like the documentary filmmakers trying to like tell the story and do that. What I found that like
own way.
What I found kind of connects. But yeah, that was really unique. It's I highly recommend the film, people. You got to see it. But I think really all these things kind of connect into just a desire to find who each person really was and express themselves. And really at the heart of it too, I think each person is just trying to expose the truth. And it was like really kind of a pure cultural, it was like pure culture. It wasn't.
But did all the young artists who were the heart of your film, were they also part of these uprisings?
Oh, they are the kind of
continuing
kids. They are the kind of kids who actually started the whole thing.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, who are the kids who started the revolution? Who are those, you know, Egyptians who called for it and everybody followed? Because it was just a calling, and then everybody followed. Everybody trusted these kids, and this is the kind of kids who started this. I was one of the people who had in my calendars like revolution on the 25th of Jan, and my fellow producer was like, let's have the opening on the premiere on the 25th of Jan. I was like, wait a minute, we have something. We have a revolution schedule. We were laughing about it. We thought, oh, come on, Hevzi, we have to go to the protest. And he said, okay, go in the morning, come back to the premiere. Of course, little did we know that it's going to be the morning, and then 18 days later, we'll be still out there.
We are out of time, but I want to remind listeners, you too can see this amazing film, Microphone. This